Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to clear my damn throat before we started, but then it just got clogged up again.
So oh, yeah. I'm
cool and raspy.
Yeah, I'll be freaking Macho Man.
There it is.
Here.
Yeah. I think you should just permanently talk like
that. Or maybe I'll be Rod Stewart or something, right?
Nice.
Another raspy guy.
I don't know what Rod Stewart sounds like.
I think he sounds kind of raspy.
It sounds like Merv.
Yeah, sounds just like me.
I was going to say, how do you know what Rod Stewart sounds like? But then I remember I got your aunt once in a Secret Santa.
Yeah.
And I got her, I believe, a Rod Stewart painted wine glass
she
from
freaking
Etsy.
Loved it.
Yeah. Wait.
Rod Stewart's pretty big in my family.
Rod Stewart painted the wine glass?
No, sorry.
Rod Stewart is on the wine
glass. Yeah, Rod Stewart is painted onto the wine glass.
Holy
shit. It's like a bit where like my aunt loves Rod Stewart, mm-hmm. but it has also become a bit where like you get her Rod Stewart stuff
that is
maybe like a tad ridiculous that she sort of plays into the bit.
Yeah.
That's great.
She's good-natured about it, but also does enjoy it.
She's embraced it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of a painted wine glass like that, too.
I feel
like
we got ones with cats on them.
Oh,
we got
that's great.
Ones with grins.
Are they painted?
Well, I guess they're like printed on.
They're printed on or something like this.
Well, Rod Stewart painted the cat one, right?
Yeah. Rod Stewart did paint that one. Rod Mewart. Mewart.
Very good.
Mewart.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really good.
And he also mews a lot. That's how he has that strong dong.
Exactly. That's why he's so hoarse.
I couldn't even picture Rod Stewart if I tried. Do you guys know what Rod Stewart looks like?
I think he was in Austin Powers, wasn't he?
Maybe.
When did things come out?
This is the evolution of when did things come out. What do people
What does Rod Stewart look like?
I think he has
curly hair.
Does he have curly hair?
Does
he's
have curly
really
hair? I wouldn't have guessed that.
Does he wear sunglasses sometimes?
Presumably.
Does he have a Roman nose?
I'm convinced none of you guys know who Rod Stewart is.
I don't.
I know who Rod Stewart is. I guess maybe it was Burt Bacharach that was in Austin Powers,
as is Elvis Costello.
Rod Stewart has like the feathery hair.
Jake is completely correct. I'm saying he has curly hair. He does not have curly hair. He is like feathery hair.
Yeah, it's kind
all right,
of
so
okay.
fight me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And he's still got it all.
I mean, according to Merv's aunt, he really does. I believe it.
Yeah. Well, he's got sick hair.
Do you think that makes the wine taste different when you're looking at Rod?
Well, what I remember is it had like puff paint. So it had like little dots on it that gave it like a textural feeling.
Oh, so you could feel the quaff.
Yeah.
I don't think it
wasn't like that. It was like there were dots and then there was like a picture of it.
What a fucking artisanal piece.
Which now that I'm thinking about, it's crazy because I bought this, but I don't know what he looks like. But I think I just was like Rod Stewart wine glass. And the first one I saw was like, this is rad. She's going to love it.
Cha-ching.
She did.
Well, if it was Christmas, you're probably doing a lot of shopping. So you
exactly.
really have
right.
time
exactly.
to inspect Rod Stewart glass.
But I do remember her loving it. So it worked out.
Jake, what would you get on your commemorative puff paint wine glass? Because you guys have the cats on yours. I'm trying to think what mine would be. I feel like
you gotta get your kids. Just do like an. I think you do an animal. I feel like just having like a mug with like a kid on it or something.
I was joking when I said your kids.
Yeah, mine would be. I bet it would be Ferrari, Tottenham, or Bradley Cooper in Limitless.
Bradley, whoa, wow.
I've never seen Limitless.
Wait, really?
Jake. Yeah.
That seems like such an Emily coded movie.
I know it is. And after I saw.
It'd be a good mixed bag movie, I bet.
Oh, wow.
After I saw that To Knowledge movie with Lucy? Scarlett Johansson, yeah. I was like, I want more of this psychotic genre.
Are those like two movies that came out the same year that are just about
so
the
close.
Same thing?
So close.
Like just like using 100% of your brain or whatever?
Yeah. One's a pill and one I think is like a. She gets, I think, well, they both take some sort of serum in the
movies. It's like a drug.
Yeah. I don't know if they came out the same year, but God, I hope they did because like, I'm trying to figure out, we were talking about triple features before. What is the third movie in that triple feature? I'm trying to figure out what
I wouldn't want, I like to swing, when I do my double features, I like to swing from genre to genre.
Okay.
I don't want to watch all the same because then everything has a sameness to it. I need novelty to spice it up.
But I guess like, if you've got these two movies about expanding your brain, I think you need like one dumb movie in the middle of it. And I'm trying to figure out what that would be.
Well, this isn't the right answer, but The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, because that's kind of like sure. using all of your brain, and the other one is your body aging backwards. Sure. But it's all kind of body-based.
It's all body-based, which is pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
I actually was thinking about The Curious Case of Benjamin Button the other day, because at 40, I realized, I was like, this is the part of the movie where I just am actually my age.
Wow.
If I'm Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
Because like 40 is pretty much like exactly middle age. Because I think mm-hmm. you're, I think average life expectancy is like, I hope like late 70s, early 80s. It might be earlier than that. So we might be beyond middle age. But let's just pretend we're middle age.
Yeah.
But this is the part in the movie where like things are fine. Because things are good. He just is his age.
You're in your Button years.
Right.
Feeling yourself. Yeah.
He was probably loving 40. And I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button.
We are also loving 40 before we turn into a baby.
This is when we buy a little craftsman house and a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be sick though to be like 65 and also 25 as Benjamin Button though. But
that's
Benjamin
great.
Really sucks. Once you're like 12, you're like, fuck me, man. You're like 70 years old.
You're right. There that's may awful. Be some because you have like a lot of the wisdom. Like part of the good thing about aging is you get wisdom that takes the edge off of the things that used to hurt you. But you get to do that.
And you're just running around as a 21-year-old going nuts.
Yeah.
But
like
you have the wisdom of a 70-year-old.
Like you could literally start a professional sports career.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. And just get better every year.
That's crazy. Why didn't he do that?
Why didn't he become a
I actually haven't seen the movie, but it should have just been a 12-year-old who was actually 50 dominating.
When he's like younger Pitt, he like lives on a fishing boat or something. He really wastes his prime soccer
player. Whoa. Nah, he should have been playing sports.
Yeah. That's what makes soccer players good is their like ancient wisdom that they have, right? It's not their physical prowess. It's just the fact that like people are the oldest.
There is a veteran. You definitely do get better.
Yeah, we're saying that he would have that veteran mind, but have the beginner
players
body.
In their 30s are usually better than players in their 20s in sports.
Yeah,
or like late 20s.
You have a higher game IQ, but your body can't do the same stuff you've been asking it to do.
Yeah.
But not for Benjamin Button.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. I don't know why I'm excited. Like, I think this can happen.
Yeah, like this could actually work.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a second.
How do we make this happen?
I really was thinking like, oh my God, what number should he be?
Guys, this is the sequel, The Curious Case of Benjamin Beckham.
Ooh. It's
this is really
a soccer player that ages backwards.
And then as they see him aging backwards, the government takes him and cuts him open to figure out what's going
right.
on. Because that unfortunately is just what would happen.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's why he lived on a fishing boat.
Yeah,
he was like,
you got to avoid that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In The Curious Case of Benjamin Beckham, he would get flayed on the day that he's playing in the FA Cup final.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once he's a 60-year-old who looks like a 15-year-old, that's when they take him off.
That's when the billionaires come in and start being like, you're our blood boy.
Yeah, give us our blood. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's
and
there's
just a bunch of like 7-year-old billionaires that look like 10-year-olds. That'd be awful. All right. I cancel this movie. It's fucking over. Anyway. Let's talk about the show.
Yeah, speaking of fucked up billionaires.
Yeah, so you guys, we finally have entered, we've left the sort of heist elements of the campaign and entered the Warriors aspect of the campaign.
Yeah.
It is officially Kill Screens Come Out and Play time.
And let me tell you, we're playing.
Yeah.
You guys are definitely playing.
Yeah, dude.
I have a question of the chase mechanics. Well, I guess... Because we know that after, if we survive this wrecking ball, we will make it to the station. Was there anything that didn't get rolled on your charts that you're like, oh, I was hoping that would get rolled?
No, the only thing is that it could have potentially been like a longer stealth section of you guys going around looking for a drill car. Because I had told you guys, the way I had that all planned out was basically, you guys go out and you look street to street and it's DC 18 plus 6. It goes down 2 DC every single alley you check. And in every alley, there's a different amount of guys. So you have to like sneak by them. If you get caught, you might have to fight some guys.
You might have
to run away from some guys. But you guys found it on the first check.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys were able to find it and then you managed to stealth past the first guys. You managed to hotwire it on the first try.
That was a moment where the role supported the mechanics that I have because Slug... It being an orc has, or half orc, I don't know which it is, has dark vision for 120 feet.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is a moment that Slug should be able to do this.
Yeah.
So I was like glad when it rolled well.
Yeah. I like that you described her as like climbing across the fire escapes and like getting like 120 feet of dark vision, like bird's eye view, does seem like really
effective.
Seeing the glint of the drill in the far distance.
Yeah.
Murph, your goon game has been so strong this campaign.
Thanks. Yeah, the I wanted basically the drill to do the perfect amount of damage to just grind up goons. That way we could just have a ton of people, but you can be, you know, so that they cause a threat, but like once you like grab onto them, they're kind of done.
I love that we're in zone 5 now, right?
Zone 5.
Yeah, I love that in zone 5 the drill car is just kind of like, that's just a normal car.
Yeah. Well, the guy's got to take it to work.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like in the Flintstones, like your car is made of rock, obviously. But zone 5, your car is a drill on it. Like that's how I get places.
I think it's the equivalent to finding someone's like work van. So you just got to look around a little bit. Like somebody's got a work van around.
Right.
Yeah. Like the dog groomer van.
Yeah. Dog groomer van.
Oh shit. Yeah. What else is in this drill car? Like where is it going?
There's a dog that you guys have to take care of.
What? Okay. Do we have to groom it?
Oh shit. We have to wash and return that poodle.
Oh, you have to wash and return that poodle.
Bichon Frise. Those are difficult.
Oh no. I think Slug would be a terrible dog groomer. She does not have the finesse for that. Fine motor skills.
You can't have a dog at an arcade. You can have a cat at an arcade.
I think.
Oh man, that'd be so cute. An arcade cat.
Arcade cat.
I love that.
Especially because every once in a while they would like to play too. So you have like maybe some toys that look like it's them playing arcade games.
Yeah, I mean, because you can train cats to use the toilet. So I think you could train a cat to play Street Fighter.
Yeah, I think you could too.
Yeah, because like the buttons are honestly like the perfect size for them
to bat. This sounds like you pitching like the NIH, the study you want to do.
Right. Thank you so much for having me today for my thesis. I believe that we can train cats to play video games. I'm halfway through deciding why we should do this, but that's what I need your funding for. But yeah, like this, the fact that number one, it's a drill car, but then it's got two drill arms as well.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful. It's such a spectacle to behold.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I want us to do, I love doing like chase mechanics and stuff like that, but I also like doing stuff like this kind of reminds me of in campaign 3, when you guys were doing a battle where you were on the same side as the dragon turtle. So you guys kind of almost have the monster and then the numbers are coming at you guys and you guys are the ones like doing the big hits and everything just to kind of mix things up. And then I love a chase, and this whole campaign is going to kind of be a chase.
The chases have been so good.
It's like, it really has been.
It really, you feel like the survival rush of it, where it's just like, we just have to get through this.
Yeah.
Describing it as the purge was so right on point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. It's not like we're being like hunted. We are being descended.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just like hordes of people like acting like zombies, essentially. Yeah.
It's kind of cool because it shows you like how the state that Mothership has put Ezri in, that people bloodlusty for credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was such a chilling moment when our like pictures started appearing everywhere. And it's like, it's the thing that I hope I only ever experience in media, because just like walking somewhere.
It's like, I always love it in D&D because it's like, it does have a visceral effect, you know?
Even if it was like for something good, if it was just like happy birthday Caldwell.
Yeah, oh my God, that's
Times Square, happy birthday Caldwell.
That's my nightmare when you go to like see like a hockey game or something and then in between they're like, happy birthday to this person. For some reason, I will feel so shy about that.
Yeah.
It's always just a flash of like letters though. It's just the writing. It's just text. It's not like there's like would be a giant picture of Emily on the Jumbotron.
I guess
like
that actually is one of my biggest fears, is being on a Jumbotron ever.
On a kiss cam?
I don't know why, but for some reason it makes me want to pull my skin off.
Wow. Really?
I scan when I'm at sporting events, I scan to make sure there's no cameras nearby.
I think it's like a secret dream of mine.
Really?
Whoa.
I never get up and dance or try to kiss anybody.
Yeah.
But like to end up on it. But I always watch. I'm like, just in case.
Right.
You should have a reaction if you're up there.
But see, I like that other people want, because my friend Yoni is like, always gets on the Jumbotron every game, wherever he is.
What?
Because he dresses like a minion or something.
Oh, yeah. He dresses like a maniac. Uh-huh. He dances like a maniac.
I wasn't saying maniac. I was saying minion.
Literally,
he's
a
been
minion.
A minion before.
Yes,
he has good costumes.
When he's not a minion, he's still a maniac. That's what I'm trying to say. And he also just oozes this infectious energy.
Mm-hmm.
So like he really brings it to the stadium, and I want him on the Jumbotron every single time. And I love that he's great at getting on the Jumbotron. I just would feel so shocked.
If he also gets on the Jumbotron a lot.
Yeah, oh, if sure. he does too. Mm-hmm. That is he's also like dancing and he's also got like the same like.
He exudes it.
He's got that mm-hmm. same infectious energy that yeah, he yeah, has. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the trick mm-hmm. is you have to just always have a ring box in your pocket.
So you're ready to
propose to whoever's next to you.
Yeah, just to whoever. And like the camera's going to cut away before they say yes or no.
Yeah. I do love like whenever it cuts to kids, they like go feral. Oh, yeah. They something comes over their eyes and they dance, but their eyes are joyless. It like something comes over them.
It does
so
feel
part
like
of me being... hopes I would do that. Part mm-hmm. of me hopes that if it happened to me, something would come over me and I would just go nuts.
You go into a trance. You yes. instantly transform into a Minion costume.
Yeah. But my honest reaction is that I would like literally hide behind the chair.
I do feel, yeah, you have to have a go-to move because like kids, it's true, like something comes over them. It's like they're being like shocked almost.
Yes.
Well, at hockey games, it's fun. People chug their beers. Like, if it lands on you, you just have to finish your drink.
That's yeah, a solid that's move. Also one of my nightmares.
Yeah, it's just like having to like... get wasted from peer pressure. Yeah. The problem is, too, people like the cameraman and the director like it when you're shy on camera. So they keep cutting back to you.
Yeah.
So if you get all bashful.
Oh, you become a character.
Shit. Yeah. So I think what you have to do is you have to do a really boring wave mm-hmm. with like dead right. eyes. That'll do it.
Oh, that'll
get you them off.
I'm, yeah. like, I mean, I get away truly from this might woman. Go into fight or flight and like. And
just go like, ape shit.
No, I was thinking like almost like shut down.
You just pass out, collapse. That would be so concerning to just see someone fold on the Jumbotron.
That's what it is. I'm going to go limp at the arms and then fall to one side.
That's cool.
That's really good. That's a
but
good
then you
move.
Pop up mm-hmm. in a joyless dance. Okay,
now I actually maybe want to.
Yeah, now you have it.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, you bend backwards unnaturally and then snap forward and start doing the robot.
I yeah. act like I'm going to faint. And then I just, what I would want to just do, like, I like that when the kids dance, they have like, they're not doing a move. They're no. just freaking out.
The spirit yeah. takes them.
Yeah. <It's>
like, if you're one of those churches where people raise their hands, it's that.
You feel in their eyes that they're like, this is my chance. Everything is going into yeah. this moment.
Are you watching, Dad?
I was definitely one of those kids. I remember being at like the first like mixer and maybe yeah. like fourth or fifth grade, probably fifth grade. And like, you know, kids would do the thing where they would get in like a circle and yeah. like people would like dance in the middle.
Yeah.
And I was like, now's my chance. This is how I'm going to distinguish myself as yeah. a cool kid.
Did it happen?
No.
No. They missed out. You would have been great on a Jumbotron.
I think it was the sort of thing where like they were watching me do it and everyone was cheering, but I think they were snickering behind their back. I think there was a lot of like behind the back snickering.
Oh, wow. So you were in the middle giving it your all.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't being received the way you thought.
No,
what about
exactly.
you, Jake and Murph? Have you guys been on a Jumbotron before?
I think I've literally just been on it next to Iffy.
Oh, I mean, I've been in the mm-hmm. like in the background while yeah. Iffy's going nuts. But yes, I don't count
definitely.
That.
That's
I don't
all
count
I've...
that as yeah. being on the Jumbotron because uh-huh. there's no pressure to be
I've been
the
in the
person.
I believe I've been in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think yeah. my
I've been
like...
I've been next to Yoni.
Yeah.
I went to a Coldplay concert.
Oh, damn, dude, that was you?
That was me.
Wow, they wow. really went in on the woman and not really you. That's crazy.
You got off scot-free.
You got off so scot-free.
Yeah, that's why not a lot of people know it was me.
It's weird that you always wear a ski mask to the Coldplay concert.
Just only when he's with his mistresses.
Right. And that's just smart.
Just
yeah.
a dead giveaway.
Speaking of giant faces, I have a rose for the newscasters.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That Emily was like, I think I have a parasocial yeah. relationship.
So funny.
And I just had to get, I just thought of them as like stooges. They didn't even have names, and I just gave them really silly
Dude,
names.
Dude, yeah. those yeah. the names you pulled out so were funny. So good.
It was Chip and Nancy. I know that.
Chip and Nancy.
Yeah. Because Chip Snugwich and Nancy Spurt. Just yeah. A plus
really
NPC
good.
Names.
I'm Chip Snugwich and Nancy Spurt.
Snug and Spurt in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, that is good. Snug and Spurt. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. A little spurt for your morning.
Snug and spurt just sounds like you dry hump until you come.
You're yes, right.
That is
right?
It's that is uh-huh. what it is.
Sorry to be yeah. crass.
It sounds like you're like almost like too lazy to do the to do the real
to do
deal.
The full
right. Yeah. It's like a it feels like an abstinence maneuver.
What do you have in you tonight? Yeah. I could snug and spurt.
As long as everybody spurt,
I just ate. Let's just snug and spurt.
Well, oh my god,
we're saving ourselves for marriage, so we're just gonna snug and spurt.
Yeah.
Wow, rough stuff.
Rough stuff. You guys, I will say, the Van Hammer brothers were tough.
Mm.
You guys fucking rocked them.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, they had just like a lot of cool shit that they could do, but it was just they just rolled low in initiative. So they were number 10 in initiative. And just the way that this, you know, series is, and just the way that this campaign is balanced, mm-hmm. you guys are doing like a bunch of encounters through the day, so I can't throw people at you that are like, everybody has 100 HP and everybody does fucking 70 damage on each hit. So it's like they had like, I think they were like 80s HP or something like that, or maybe like 70s, but yeah, they both had like magnetic hammers that could hit two people at the same time. They had like a spirit guardians type thing that made hammer swing up around them. Whoa. But they never got to cast it because I think the one guy died before he even had a turn.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, I was like, he's not going to use his full action to do spirit guardians right now when he's just there by himself.
Yeah.
So he kind of just got rocked.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know that we kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, you guys dodged a bullet there, and then you dodged a bullet with the whole drill car with finding that so fast and avoiding that first round of dudes.
Cool. The Hammer Brothers in this campaign really did feel like what the Hammer Brothers would have looked like in the original Super Mario Brothers movie. Like if they had been in there, I don't think they're in there, but like, I feel like they felt like very, like a good parallel.
Oh, in the original one.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
With, God, why can't I
Dennis
remember anyone's name?
Dennis Hopper.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, cause in that movie, it's all like,
Dennis Hopper played Mario.
It was a really bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Leguizamo's Luigi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that works to me. Dennis Hopper. Mm-hmm. You said he's Bowser.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry. Dennis Hopper is Bowser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes more sense. I was like, Dennis Hopper as Mario.
Right.
I'm like trying to project like
Mario was a
onto...
British actor, right?
I'm trying to remember.
Is his name like John Hoskins or something
that
like that?
That does sound right. Yeah. You can look it up. I'll talk about just the fact that it is a bad movie, but like the set design is
Bob
incredible.
Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. There you go.
Yeah. They did this. They did the thing that video game movies did until like literally 5 years ago,
right?
Which was just to be like, let's just take out anything fun or colorful about the games and just make it gritty in like a bad version of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Mario and Luigi are just like some dudes.
They get transported to like the Mushroom Kingdom, which is like a cyberpunk world.
Yeah.
Really?
There's like a lot of like neon.
You're
isn't it
bad,
even knocked down
I'm...
a pipe? Don't they go through like a mud wall?
It's kind of like a mud wormhole sort of
There's
thing.
There's like a mud wormhole.
I think it's like a sort
Are you
of,
sure
like,
it's not just packed shit?
Listen, they explain
like,
this.
Oh,
right, yeah, 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 yeah.
They explain this in the movie, which is that when the meteors hit the Earth and the dinosaurs went extinct, it created sort of a like parallel world, or like they're like they became like a weak point between the dimensions.
Gotcha.
And the dinosaurs went there, and then they evolved into humanoids alongside some fungus people.
Yeah.
So that's where the Mushroom Kingdom.
But then there's
from.
Also full dinosaurs, because isn't Yoshi in it as just like a straight up shrieking like dinosaur?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, there's like a raptor.
I mean, there's still monkeys.
You guys are making me want to watch.
You should watch.
This honestly, we should watch this as a mixed bag because the newish Mario movie came out and then Mario Galaxy movie came out. So it'd be really funny to ignore those and go back and watch the really bad
one. Just go to 1993.
So
honestly,
that is
the middle bit. That is the middle bit in the sandwich between Limitless and Lucy.
Ooh,
it's the Super Mario Bros.
Okay,
movie.
Okay. Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm going to add it to my library queue now because
I think you'll enjoy it.
I probably will.
I don't think
I have
you
terrible
will.
Taste
when
in
was the last? Caldwell, you seem to know a lot about the movie. When was the last time you saw it?
Yesterday morning.
Every morning.
He always does a full movie with his coffee.
That would be a wild way to start the day. You could do that if you woke up early as fuck.
Right. Don't talk to me until I've watched the Super Mario Bros. movie. Parentheses, 1994 version.
Yeah, when did you see it that you remember...
I think it's been a while. I think maybe it was in
just
college.
Stuck in your
brain.
Just
memory
stuck in there.
Is
yeah.
like, is it like S tier?
You, yeah. know, it's not S tier. It's
wait, is S tier bad? I thought S tier.
S tier is good. Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
S tier is good.
I think your memory is incredible. It,
I
like,
think your
memory genuinely
unreal.
Sometimes get jealous.
I am fully jealous as someone who reads so much history and wish that facts would stick to me. If anything, I think Slug's inferiority complex about her intelligence is mine.
But I think that you have to understand that there's a devil's bargain to this where I can never remember anything important.
Yes. Yeah. As someone who I think I can remember every Royal Rumble winner from the original one up until like 2001, I don't know where most countries are.
But I can't remember. Right. I can't remember anything important or unimportant.
That's not true, though. You are very smart and you know lots of things that actually matter.
I wish I watched a movie in 1994 and remembered the whole thing. I would feel like Bradley Cooper's Limitless. I'd feel like Bradley Cooper and Scarlett Johansson wrapped into one.
See, I think that
you know geography, you know history, you know religions.
You want 100% of your brain, Emily. You want that pill.
Yeah.
See, I do think that like in my version, I go to the Limitless Factory and they say, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of the pills that make you smart, but you can remember everything from the Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. You have perfect movie recall.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think you know a lot about like geography and history. And you know a lot of stuff.
I don't know as much about geography and history as Caldwell knows about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. And for that reason, I am just
objectively admiring Caldwell's talent. Sure.
Thank you.
And Jake has a vague knowledge of like the most popular stuff from like the 2000s.
I think I have the least useful one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, because everyone kind of knows it, but you know like a little bit more.
I don't know. Whenever we do a When Did Things Come Out, I feel like Jake and Murph are like really on their game when it comes to like songs and like just like pop culture events from like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that's where mine falls down. That's
interesting. I think that maybe the early 2000s is Jake's Sonic the Hedgehog and
everyone has their Sonic the Hedgehog.
Liquid 82 is my Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I would say so.
Everyone has like a totemic Sonic within them.
You guys also dodged a bullet, literally, because there was like you guys got a pretty bad malfunction, like a mishap on your drill car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the axle.
The axle was damaged. It was a DC Ox 20 to fix.
The axle.
But Ox managed to fix it there.
Yeah.
But you guys had, so there was the one part that was probably like the diciest. Everything else you guys kind of breezed by. You breezed by the Van Hammer brothers. You got past the first like gaggle of goons. But then in the first like piloting check against like the drill guys making like potholes, you guys failed. And the way little mini encounter was going to work was essentially if you passed it, you were just going to be able to run these guys over and keep going.
Nice.
But you failed. So they jumped onto it and the nearby snipers got to shoot at you guys. And then one of them did over 20 damage. So you had a mishap. And then the mishap happened. It was one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, when it rains, it pours.
It's really worth reiterating like how good you are at chase design.
Yeah.
Because like I've looked into chase design. There's like a section in the new DM's guide about it. And even that, like, it's kind of clumsy. It's all like, you know.
Because I feel like my experience of your chase design is you use almost the momentum of initiative as the chase.
I don't rather even look at speed or anything. I don't even look at that.
And that seems really smart, particularly for theater.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm just like, you guys are going as fast as you can. There's no reason to sit there and just be like, how many feet on this one? How many feet on this one? It's just like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Round one, you guys are in this area of the town. Round two, you're in this area of the town.
And
round
I'm assuming you'd have flexibility because like Slug is all speed.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd have flexibility if I was like, oh, can I get a little bit ahead and do something like that? But I feel like that even with initiative, you have that flexibility if someone reaches out and says.
Definitely.
You know what it is? I think it is, speaking of people's memory specializations, I think it is Merv's Disney brain kicking in.
Oh, interesting.
It's like every chase feels like you're getting on Pirates of the Caribbean and then they're just like kicking it into like high gear.
Wow, maybe. Like, somebody popping out to scare you in Haunted Mansion or something.
It's like an amusement park ride.
Wow, what are those called? A dark ride?
Dark
ride.
Oh, like when you're like literally in the dark?
I believe that's what they're
called. The ones that are kind of like, you're almost on like a fun tour.
Yeah.
In the dark.
Mm. But Caldwell, what do they say in the manual like for chases?
So the thing I do like in there is that they have an option where like because you're all, it's assuming that you're taking the dash action, you can essentially dash for like a number of rounds equal to your constitution modifier or something.
Okay.
And then you start to take exhaustion levels. And I think like that's a cool idea. That's a cool model for a chase. In the DM's guide, the chase is more like you're just running until you hide. And then if you hide successfully, the chase is over.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that's like, that's hard to like build a fun encounter around, because you could just like instantly hide, or you could like instantly just like lose your quarry and then you're just like having to search for them again.
Yeah, no, I like this as kind of like surviving a gauntlet rather than just a chase.
It's just like things happen at initiative 20 and at initiative 10, and the players deal with them as things come up.
And you come up with like some things that it's like, just survive it and try to outrun it. And then you come up with other things that it's like, this is a problem until you get rid of it.
Yeah, right. Like some guys jump up onto the drill car.
Yeah, because the terrain is so dynamic. Like the way that the snipers will get shots at us, but not be there forever. And we're like getting bogged down.
Yeah, yeah.
Constantly being worried about this like sniper fire. It's like, you round this corner, you're going to get shot, but then you can speed away.
It's like Mr. Toad's ride is scary, but you're still going to make it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you might die, but like the ride will still continue.
Holy shit.
You do go to hell on that ride, and hell is real in there.
For sure.
How did everyone choose the augment that they wanted to
choose? Oh, yeah. Ooh, we didn't talk about that. Oh, yeah. You guys got some sick stuff.
I wanted the detention orb because it's essentially, number one, a Pokeball, but also like in my head, I was thinking of it as like the gachapon machines.
Yeah.
Which are like those, you know, you put a quarter in and you twist it and you get a little capsule.
Yeah.
Mm. So it felt like very kind of a prize oriented, which I think is kind of Adam's little mini game that he's playing in his head.
Yeah.
And then the gadget one just seemed cool.
The gadget one is just really good.
I really wanted that one, but I was like on a meta level, I was like, shit, I want that. But then I was like, it's so fucking perfect for Ox or the fucking robot. It doesn't make any sense for me to take it.
Because you get, it's a flash grenade, a grappling hook, or overcharge.
Yeah.
So it's like, you get three options.
The grappling hook was what I actually wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can restrain people, you can blind them, or you can get an extra D6.
Ooh. We should
use it as a bonus action. Yeah. And it recharges on a 5 or a 6. You can't use it every single turn.
I wish that more stuff recharged like that. That's such a fun idea.
Yeah. I think it's tough with balancing, like if you're making an actual class or something like that, because then you could just sit there and just like miss every turn. And how do you balance for that? Mm-hmm. Although I guess you could do that with like attacks. Like,
yeah.
I guess if you just were unlucky and rolled a 1 every time, your character would be useless.
It's just an extra little layer of gambling, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me see if this recharges. Oh, it did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it lets you, it almost adds, there's like an extra path you can take when you're deciding like what to do each turn.
Yeah. It's just another exciting roll.
Mm-hmm.
Another exciting roll.
Yeah.
And then what'd you take, Em?
I just took Jet Dash. I'm considering taking something else. Like I was feeling really guilty about how much I was critting, or not like guilty. I guess I was like, everyone's going to be mad at me. And then there was a part of me that was like, I don't want to deal with this. And then when we were sitting down to record, I said, I need to stop critting. And then I heard myself say that. And I was like,
God.
But critting is the best feeling. Yeah. I'm playing a barbarian. I get to roll with advantage all the time. So I have this focus critical that lets me crit on 19 and 20 with attack rolls with a weapon. And so I was like, maybe I should get rid of that and take something else. But then as soon as I said I need to stop critting, I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to keep doing it. But then I feel like my dice, because my dice did not crit as much this session, I feel like my dice are like, okay, cool. You need us to lay low?
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you think you've besmirched Dice Christ?
No, I actually don't think it's that. I think my dice are collaborating with me. I think they're kind of being like, okay. If they
heard your inner monologue.
Yes, and they were like, if we went too hot, let's lay low. Don't give up focus critical. That's what they're trying to say. Like, you don't need to give up focus critical. But I'm considering also Rocket, because I just like, I went for the speedy ones just because I'm like, that's what I do. And then I like the idea of Rocket just because it gives you like 30 feet vertical.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's okay for like attacking someone, but it also is interesting to see like, oh, I wonder if I could use that 30 feet vertical in like a movement capacity.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Misty Step.
That's interesting.
So that's why I have like that in my back pocket if I decide to swap out one of my feats. But I have decided it's not going to be focus critical because the dice have told me, no, keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Never stop critting. Never quit critting. Never quit critting. The rocket jump, do you have to be grappling someone or can you just do it?
That is how you can do damage to somebody, but I would definitely allow you to just move through.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I was like, that's just crazy mobility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can picture you just like grabbing someone and then just like rocket jumping through a ceiling.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun to do it with like an ally too, to like escape something.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You could do it with me and then we could feather fall.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I haven't used Street Justice too much, my feet, but I loved it, the flavor of it for this campaign. But if I still find I'm not using it, I might trade that out at least for a couple sessions for Rocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake, what about you?
I chose the Plasma Blast because in my head, Ox is like kind of, he like does these like illegal mods on engines and stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I like the flavor of just like a combustible thing. Yeah. And I was kind of imagining like, you know, he chucks that thing and it's like a bigger explosion than he anticipated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him doing damage and being surprised by it. Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's very in line with you being like, okay, I have Featherfall. I don't know if it works, though. I'm still working on it.
Yeah. Right. And the Featherfall is like, okay, instead of dying, you like, you blast off just before you hit the ground and like roll both of your ankles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the like Ox version of all of these modifications.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I fixed it.
You need to be more confident in yourself.
You guys want to do some roses and thorns?
I have a rose right off the bat for the speed at which things are happening.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. When we first met the Von Hammer Bros, I was like, all right, these guys are bad guys. We're going to have to kill them in a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But then no. It's just like, no, kill them now. They're going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Like, oh shit, this fight's happening. We're already on our way out of zone five. I just love the speed at which things are happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like playing a barbarian and realizing that, like, I guess, I mean, I've played a barbarian before, but I think I'm just like really feeling it this time. Maybe I'm just like really feeling the way that like hit points are like a resource for a barbarian. I love how frequently I get so low.
Yeah.
Yeah. This class is fucking, this class is awesome.
I love
like,
it.
The augments that you can like inject yourself with more HP. Yeah. And
well, yeah. It uses hit dice. So I am like draining my hit die.
Rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that it feels like, it does feel like adrenaline that I'm like always, and like even just like I have like this purple dragon commandment feat that when I'm bloodied, I have advantage on attack. So it's like always sick when you're like, oh, actually being hurt makes me stronger.
Yeah.
So I kind of like just like draining my HP.
Yeah. You're really rubber banding with your HP. Yeah. This is like a small thorn, but I feel like there was so much cool stuff in this town. And like just by the nature of being a chase, like we didn't get a ton of time to be there because everyone wants us dead.
I certainly was like, this episode, we're going to explore zone five.
No, I would say like, rose for me or like bud, something I'm excited about is I've been excited about the like warriors aspect of this, which was originally the way that I was going to structure this is you guys were going to get into this like chase element of it, like essentially instantly, like right away, like the inciting incident was going to be something. So basically in the warriors, all of the gangs of New York come together under like a new leader, and then the new leader is assassinated, and then they blame it on the warriors. So the warriors are trying to get home to Coney Island from like way, way uptown. I forget where they start, but they have to basically go through all the neighborhoods of New York to get all the way down to Coney Island and basically avoiding every single gang along the way. So my original plan was to basically do a similar thing and have there be like a meeting of all of the gangs, and then somebody is like taken out and you guys are blamed. But I was kind of like, A, that feels like a little cut scene-y you guys kind of can't control anything, and then you guys are just there kind of role playing while I like steamroll you because something has to go wrong, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was also worried that you guys would just figure out a way to stop it from happening. Like you guys jump down and you stop the person from being assassinated.
Well,
convince people that you roll a nat 20 saying we didn't do it, you know?
I think that I like this better anyways, because instead of just fighting for our lives, we're fighting for our lives and we have like precious cargo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it does feel like a variety of stakes that makes it more fun.
Feels like we're fighting for like the city, the life of the city as
there
well.
There you go. Yeah. So I thought it was fun to have like a heist aspect to it. It also made sense to then have like mothership involved, which tied it into the other campaign. And then we got to do like a fun, we got to mix it up. So it's not just chase, but I'm excited now to do the chase element of it where you guys are fighting all these like new different enemies from these different zones.
I loved all of the people just like running out of the various like apartments and restaurants.
Oh yeah, just getting like shooting out windows.
The guy who was shooting us for
like opportunistically.
For his kids to go to college.
Sorry.
I also have a bud for the Hampson sisters confronting their dad.
Was such an insane lore drop that they just have a bad father.
Yeah. That's been my headcanon.
Who wanted them to be small?
Yeah.
Well, my headcanon, because like he didn't like, he has like stupid traditional ideas of like what women should look like, and they're beautiful outside of his little women. Yeah. He wanted them to be his little women. He kept
calling them his little women.
I also had it in my head that, like, because this is like a cyberpunk world, that he like runs like a ramen stand. So there was, it was also like, it couldn't fit all four of them. Oh, so like that was like an aspect, but it was much more societal expectations, not appreciating like their unique capabilities. You're and
too
physiques.
Big for the stools.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he will have a change of heart and will like see them one day and be like, my massive women.
My intimidating women.
Oh, we can hope. If they all survive the blitz that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I am worried about what's going on back at the Killscreens arcade.
Well, you guys can, the thing is that you guys are getting it the worst. Because the mothership can't like move through other zones super easily because they will get some pushback from the other gangs. Yeah, they're essentially, they've basically made it like they put this bounty out there so the gangs will do the work for them so that they don't have to send troops out.
I know, but I'm worried about the other gangs encroaching. I'm worried about Big Minnie. I'm worried about the Hampson sisters.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about Spectre a little bit, but I feel more like I got to take care of Big Minnie and the Hampson sisters.
Exactly. Well, they'll make a barricade out of beanbags and they'll be fine.
Yeah, they will. They really will.
Huge bud for this dump truck wrecking ball.
Yeah, there's a freaking wrecking ball coming at you guys. I love Infernal War Machines. I just love those cars. We just keep just doing car fights. It's just real twisted metal and I freaking love it.
I think that's fine.
I could fuck with that.
I'm just always impressed by all the bullshit you keep putting on cars. It's just like, I thought that we had seen it all, but then a wrecking ball car, that's rad.
Yeah, I think you guys have fought wrecking ball cars before.
Did we fight them in hell when we were there?
Certainly.
Yeah.
I don't know where they'd be, man.
I'm not sick of it, so.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. More wrecking balls.
We're allowed to use a wrecking ball car once every 150 episodes.
I think that's fair.
I think it's possible we've used it more than that. Yeah, I would say that we can use it.
We can do it once every 50.
We can use it once every 50.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That includes dungeon cars.
And drill cars. We've used quite a few drill cars.
Yeah. Drill cars, I mean, that's just like, that's bog standard.
I mean, that's just how you get around.
Exactly. Yeah.
People, if you have a dwarven town, people are gonna be like, "Where are the drill cars?"
Absolutely.
You would notice their absence.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's not weird. Like, I use a regular car most days.
Right. True. True.
So, it's not weird.
This does feel like a Mythbusters episode or something. If they were 20% stupider, where it's just like, could you drill through a wall with a car? I want to know, like, how
our drill. I'm just gonna Google our drill cars real.
Please
don't do that.
I don't want to find out. No,
I'm gonna open the window and just scream that. Actually, that's a better
Google. And if not, why
are the drill cars real?
All right, it's saying drill powered go-karts.
What,
this isn't what we're looking for,
drill
guys.
Powered?
No. Drill powered, like they just like work? Spin around or something. I freaking hate this. This isn't what I'm talking about.
Real life drill car like dwarves have. Say
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Jeez. The internet has gone wrong.
Yeah. You know,
just
what
ask, is Snow White based on a historical figure?
Just ask that.
Yeah. Just ask that. Yeah.
They don't have drill cars in Snow White.
Is this like a way to like reset Google?
Yeah, this will reset your algorithm.
That gets rid of AI if you ask that question. Yeah. You're like, you're from the 30s. Yeah.
That takes your internet back to 1998.
Yeah. Because there's just so many forum posts about it that the AI ingests them all and just shuts down. People are just arguing for days and days
about
this.
Who was Snow White real life?
Which is real?
Oh, man. Speaking of Snow White, that was the other option where I was like, is this another freaking classic minecart ride? Because I also love a minecart ride. Yeah. As a huge Donkey Kong fan, I love a minecart ride.
I do too.
I've seen videos of the Donkey Kong roller coaster, which I haven't gotten a freaking ride
yet. Is that in Universal Studios Florida?
Yes, it's only in Florida. So I've been to the regular Super Mario World that first showed up out here, but I've only gotten to ride the Mario Kart ride, which was honestly like I didn't love it because you have to wear like these glasses and there's just like all of this shit it's going on much. While riding. It's a yeah. little much.
It's a little Bowser Jr. forward.
It's pretty freaking Bowser Jr. forward.
And like, don't get me wrong, he's fine. We love Benny Safdie Jr. in this household.
Wait, that's who does his voice?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
That's a good choice, yeah. Yeah.
But the Donkey Kong roller coaster is the minecart level.
Whoa.
Which is awesome.
I think we have to take a trip.
Yeah, we have to do a mixed bag. That's just us waiting for 3 hours on that on that line.
We record it live.
We should do experiential mixed bags like that.
Could we get Donkey Kong for an interview? Bring a microphone and just try and get him to say something.
Who plays Donkey Kong?
I mean, Seth Rogen.
I don't think the characters are allowed to speak.
That is a question. I mean, like, is Donkey Kong, because like the Grinch is allowed to speak, obviously.
Well, yeah, but that's like, they do extensive training. I think if you're the Grinch at one of the Universals, like you are like a classically trained
guy. I don't think Mario.
And that's a seniority position, I think.
I think Mario wasn't talking.
Do you think he'd give you like a woohoo?
I think he didn't say anything. Like it's borderline. I know because me and Murph and Adam Conover got a picture with him.
Yeah.
And I remember it being like borderline Adam pushed a kid over, awkward because it was like he doesn't say anything.
Is Mario in a big suit?
It's a big For head. Sure. Yeah.
It's not Bob Hoskins style. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's the rule. If you have the head, you can't talk. But if your face is out, you can.
And I've seen videos of people interacting with Toad.
Oh, okay.
That was in my algorithm for a minute.
But does Toad talk back to them?
Toad does not talk. Toad is just silly and like hides if you're dressed up. If you have like a Bowser backpack,
Hide. That's what I'm getting at though. Is like if you went up to Donkey Kong, could you get him to like bonk you or something?
I think he might bonk you.
That wouldn't mean much though if you're holding, because you were like, I want to interview him.
Yeah, I think he's not going to say anything.
Yeah, so we're not going to get good audio from Donkey Kong.
None of this fucking audio is useful.
Donkey Kong, you're fucking killing me. This is bad audio, man. This is bad pod. But I think it would be fun. I mean, like, if you bring a banana to Donkey Kong, like, what's he going to do? Like, I feel like I'm going to get a pop from that, right?
I think the guy inside the costume would be so fucking annoyed and would pretend to think it was, like, funny and then just, like, hand it to one of his handlers.
Yeah.
And just be like, throw this out.
Yeah.
He would, like, dap you up. I bet he would, like, do a raise the roof thing. Oh, dap you up, take the banana.
Yeah, he would have to pretend to be
psyched. You're so right. So many characters, I feel like, just, like, raise the roof is easy to do in any costume. I've never seen characters raise the
imagine
roof.
Like just completely blank face raising the roof behind them
as him saying, aren't you going to eat it?
You are Sir, real, aren't
you're
you?
Holding up the line.
If you were real, you would eat it, skin and all.
I got you this as a gift. Are you not eating it because it's your money?
There's a bunch of six-year-olds that want to hug me, sir.
Caldwell gets grappled to the ground by Donkey Kong in front of a line of children.
Have a conversation with me!
Diddy Kong rips his arm out of the socket in front of his children.
This is why investigative journalist is dead.
What are you hiding?
And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of Gangs of Neo Galateron and a short rest. In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everybody get ready to roll those Donkey Kong wrestle me to the ground.
Rolling with the Donkey Kong wrestle me to the ground.
Oh, it's broken. You owe me an interview.